Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved. There, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila.
How's it going?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. I am. So we're going to do a little bit of a different spin here on this podcast. The reason is Elizabeth had a really wonderful session with her executive coach recently, and she shared it with me because she recorded it. And I thought there was a lot of wonderful and insightful conversation going on there. And I really felt it could benefit. It benefited me. So I felt like it could benefit anybody who listened. And we were both excited at the concept of sharing it here in this episode. And so that's what we're going to do. The first part of it is essentially the more formal part of the coaching session. And then we're going to break just for a few minutes to return to me and Elizabeth. And I'm going to share just a couple of thoughts that I had that I felt really were resonating with me and could resonate with a lot of people. And then we're going to return to the second, more informal part of the conversation. And then they're going to take it home. So, does that sound about right, Elizabeth?
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Okay. So, without further ado, let's go to the coaching session.
Hey, Sharon, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Elizabeth?
I'm good. So, first, in the spirit of being imperfectly honest, I just want to out that I opted to write for 10 more minutes instead of being on time for our call. And I apologize for that.
It worked out great for me. I was kind of rushing from a shower, and then I got an email that I wanted to open and read the attachment I was really curious about. So I was grateful for the extra time.
Great. Well, I'm glad it worked out. And I trust that if it didn't go well for you, you would have told me that. And I really appreciate that about you.
Yeah, I find it usually works out.
Great. So, do you want to just quickly introduce yourself? And I can also explain why I was interested in talking with you today.
Sure. I love to enjoy life, I think is the best way to introduce myself. So I've optimized my life to do the things I love. And right now in sports, that's skiing and golf. And people often ask me, well, does your work, does that get in the way of the things you love? And I say, no, I love coaching just as much as I love being on the mountain or being on the golf course. And I've been coaching on and off for the last 10 years. Some of that has been in the format of running retreats and transformational trips around the world. But the last 4 years, I've mostly focused on one-on-one coaching and building the welcoming way, which brings coaching to groups and teams.
And Sharon works with Leah Pearlman, whom many of you know. Leah is a partner with us at MergeLane and has been with us for the entire MergeLane journey. And as I've written about before, it's funny because I've known Sharon for a while, And I didn't think of the idea of working with her as a coach for reasons which I won't restate. I'll just link to that note. But I'm really glad that I started working with Sharon, and I am especially grateful that she is willing to coach while being on the chairlift and on the hiking trail. So thanks, Sharon.
My pleasure.
So I asked Sharon if she would just talk with me today because I'm feeling really inspired to tell my story, but I feel unsure as to which parts of my story are worth telling. And I'm also just having a hard time organizing my thoughts. So, Sharon, would you be willing to just sort of allow me to babble and do what you do best, interject any questions or any thoughts that come up for you? And if we get something that's worth sharing with others, great. Otherwise, I think it'll, at a minimum, help me organize my thoughts.
Yeah, let's do it. You start with whatever is present for you now. And like you said, I'll interject when the inspiration comes, when I see the avenue in.
Well, I feel most nervous about a few things. First, last year, when I really opened up about some of the challenges that I've faced, I received a few reactions. Some people were very scared for me. And I guess I just want to start by mentioning something that never occurred for me to mention because I've never contemplated this, but I have never and am not contemplating self-harm. I feel very supported, and I feel that I have all of the resources that I need, or at least a path to those resources, to continue to heal myself. Several other people were very concerned that I was not going to be able to uphold my professional responsibilities. And I feel nervous about giving that impression as well. I'm in a place now that I feel that I am physically and mentally capable of doing really anything I want to do. And it's just a question of how I want to be spending my time rather than how I'm able. And several other people took it as sort of a desperate cry for help when I shared my story. And I feel nervous by sharing this. I'm going to discourage people from offering help, which is not my intention. I think that, first of all, everyone who has offered to help me in this journey has had a genuine intention to show support for me. And I'm grateful for that. And I've also learned in this process that sometimes when people continually reinforce the idea that they need to be the one to help you, you lose your own sense of agency and your own motivation to help yourself.
It also reinforces that there's something to solve, that you're broken or there's a problem in some way.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I realized that actually the worst feeling that I've had through this entire process is when people have felt sorry for me for things that I was actually proud of. Or when I just wasn't feeling sorry for myself and feeling like I wasn't broken, that I was revealing the true me, and I was met with feelings of pity.
Right.
I also feel nervous that this is going to be received as a woman's story that isn't applicable to all people. Mm-hmm. A lot of my journey has involved some women's health issues, and I think that I'm just nervous that men are going to tune out. And I think that the lessons that I've learned are applicable to both genders. I also don't like feeling marginalized as a woman as well, and feel nervous about that. And I don't know, I've got other fears, but I think those are the ones that I most wanted to out. So you might be wondering at this point, Sharon, I know you know a lot of this, but the rest of you might be wondering at this point what my story actually is. And so I'd like to try to just share that as succinctly as possible. So I started my first business when I was 22, and I have been a fast moving, high achieving entrepreneur since then. And in my failure to create boundaries, both with my work and my desire to do work that I feel deeply inspired by, and also with my family and with people in my life who in many ways wanted me to be a different person who I really was, or at least I perceived them as wanting that. In my failure to create boundaries and to try to just make everything work, I literally curved the shape of my spine. And it's become this metaphor for the challenges and finding my courage to find my backbone, to be the person that I really wanted to be. And I have learned so much in this process, not just about the human body, because I've basically had to spend 2 years unwinding the damage that I've done, which I'm still unwinding, but also in relationships and carving out a life in which, like you mentioned, Sharon, that you just can love life and do work that is meaningful. And you articulated that so well, I won't repeat it. I would just say plus one on your comments. And I feel like the thing that I can most do to both personally feel inspired and to help others is to tell the lessons that I've learned in this journey. And so there, I just kind of want to pause for a minute because I'm having trouble collecting my thoughts again. But is there anything that feels unclear or triggering, or just any thoughts that come up for you and what I've shared so far?
Well, from your story, we can certainly go into that, but what feels most interesting to explore right now is the ways in which you feel nervous about writing your story and sharing your story. I see some avenues, I have some questions, and I think it'll be a really interesting conversation.
Let's do it.
Yeah, it's great. So everything you shared, can you first just check, is that all here now? Or is some of that just a memory? And there's no right or wrong answer. It's just a checking.
It feels maybe like something in between, kind of like PTSD. I feel like I've moved through a lot of that. And when I think about how it backfired on me before, I get really nervous.
Yeah. And when we talked a couple of days ago, you asked for the session, you said that you want to do some writing, but you feel blocked. And does that feel true now? The block feel like it's here?
Yes.
Yeah. And when you feel a block, how does it show up for you? Does it feel energetic? Does it feel physical? Does it feel like a weight on you? How does it show up?
It feels like a weight on me. My challenge is that my mind starts going and it feels really clear in my mind and very organized. And then when I try to put it down on paper, it either takes me so long to get it out, or it just feels like it isn't nearly as beautiful as it is in my head when I get it down on paper.
Yeah. So just notice the wanting to get it right, wanting to get it perfect, if that word fits for you right now. The wanting to do it justice.
I feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. And does this pressure feel like it's helpful for the creative flow? Does it feel like there could be causing some resistance in that?
Well, in some ways, it actually feels like motivation. So my goal for the year was to achieve my highest feeling of inspiration within my quote unquote healthy parameters. So I am wired to be an entrepreneur, and I have the ability to get so inspired by the work that I'm doing that I literally forget to eat and do normal human function. And that caused a lot of the problems that I've been unwinding. But when I took 2 years to really heal myself and do all the things that I'm supposed to do to be a healthy, mindful, balanced person, I lost my sense of purpose. And I also lost my sense of community because I was doing a lot of that solo. I was spending so much time healing myself that I didn't have enough time to spend in relationships. That became soul-sucking and completely counterproductive. So having all these thoughts in my head that I want to get out and feeling like I need to get them out as soon as possible so I don't lose them feels actually good. But yeah. Like this morning is a perfect example. I actually was feeling really in flow about my writing, and in part because I was trying to organize my thoughts for this call. And so I kept going past the start of our call, and it worked out okay. But when you continue to have that pattern over and over, it just, for me, it causes chaos in my life.
Yeah. So is there any fear here now that this writing project will bring up chaos in your life or isolate you in a way you're isolated before? Is there any fear that it will cause you to repeat patterns that you remember to be a problem in the past?
Yes.
Yeah. So just be with that and just notice that there's resistance to this project in that form, the mind coming up with these ideas that if you do this, it's dangerous in a way. So just notice that there's two kind of conflicting energies going on here, and everything you describe fits in one of these two categories. There's the one part that is all in, that it believes in this project and sees the benefits of it and has an energy coming through you that you're not even creating. This story needs to be told. And the motivation, the inspiration, whatever it feels like, there's that energy going one direction. And you feel that. And that feels like the most predominant energy sometimes. And then there's the resistance. There's all the things that you described at the beginning, all the reasons you feel nervous, and then the ways you feel nervous about presenting it to the world, and the ways you feel nervous about it affecting your life as you take on the project. So can you feel how that's in the no, don't do this category? So there's the yes, and there's the no. And those things are both arising at the same time.
Yep.
And then we can try to rationalize we want this so much. And you even mentioned how it fits in your overall goal for the year. And so we can put a lot of pressure and expectation and meaning on this project. But when the resistance comes up, it's inconvenient. And we try to rationalize it away or overcome it. Like a boogeyman, like it feels really big and scary sometimes, and we don't want to look at it, or if we give it any attention, we feel like it'll take us over. But it's there anyway, and it's happening, and it's kind of like trying to, run a marathon with a 5-pound weight dragging behind us. Like, we can still keep going, but it really would be easier if we weren't dragging this weight on our ankle. Mm. What comes up when you hear all that?
I would say everything that you're saying is resonating and feels true. And there's a part of me that wants to resist some of it.
Yeah. Let yourself be with any resistance that came up from anything I said. Just let it be here. Resistance is allowed in this practice.
Yeah.
And actually is very helpful.
So I'm noticing that part of my resistance is driven by some thoughts that I've been having lately about the values of discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read the book, The Coddling of the American Mind, or are you familiar with it?
No.
I think you'd like it. Our listeners might want to check it out as well. But the basic premise is that we are evolutionarily wired to withstand harsh winters and war and all the things that our ancestors endured. And when we don't have those things, it makes life a lot more pleasant, but
yes.
It also can inhibit our drive to be stronger and to achieve what we're actually capable of. And this author was a professor who saw some of the effects of this through teaching different generations who have had different levels of comfort. And I feel like I'm resisting part of what you're saying because I guess I am nervous that it's sort of the narrative that I've maybe bought into before, which is that it's all okay. You don't need to keep pushing through. And I know that's not what you're saying, but I feel that I'm maybe receiving it that way because of what's in my head around that topic.
Right. Right. Good catch. Because we can push through resistance and maybe you hit your stride and you're going for a while, but when it's not looked at, when it just keeps getting suppressed, it'll keep rearing its head. It'll keep popping up in different ways. And when we look at resistance in a different way, we're not saying to just succumb to it and say, you're right, this is too hard. I'm just going to sit on my couch and not put this book out, not even try because the resistance is here. That's not what we're saying, and that's what you're acknowledging. But sometimes we can just think, oh, that's how you be with resistance. But there's a different way. And it actually doesn't even take long. Like, I just invited you to pause and notice resistance. And you did for a few moments. And that's all the practice is just noticing that resistance is here, letting it have its life. And it moves through. And then there's clarity, and then there's space, and then there's energy to do your project. Because what we're doing is spending energy resisting the resistance. And then what can happen is the mind can start to spin. It can start to tell us stories. It can start to tell us everything that you described in the beginning about why you're nervous is just resistance. It's just the feeling getting words, but we don't even need all those words. We can just notice that there's resistance here and pause. And it might be a few moments, it might be half a day, but in the long run, it can feel like you're slowing down or you're stopping yourself. And especially as a self-described person with a lot of energy who's always going and always doing and always pushing forward, it can feel very threatening.
Yeah.
But the invitation to do things slightly differently and slow down just for moments, you'll end up having an overall gain in your productivity.
Well, along those lines, I'm being reminded of something that I've learned on this journey, which is you know, I often have a very clear idea in my mind of how I want to tell my story, but it's not always effective to just vomit all the thoughts in your head without engaging someone else in the process and the conversation. Because I imagine that this is actually a more powerful way to share some of my story than for me to just stand on a soapbox and talk for 30 minutes without interaction. And sometimes also just the way that other people see it is more helpful than the way that you see it as well.
Right.
So what else do you think would be interesting to explore?
There was one specific way that you said you were nervous about sharing the story or how you wanted the story to come through that stood out to me. And that was about wanting it to be relevant to all people or more than just people that are like you. And this is a great vision to have, but at the same time, a wanting to control how it's perceived can be limiting in the writing process itself. It can be another way in which it's hard to sit down and let it flow because there's already a boundary, already a limitation in how it's perceived.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, and so for each one of those ways you listed, we could probably go through and see how that is holding back the writing process.
Yeah.
And you can still get those goals met in the end, but letting them go for now as best you can will open up your ability to put your story down on paper.
Yeah. Well, I think that would be a good exercise for me, actually, to write down all those things that I mentioned that I feel afraid of, or actually, because we recorded this, I can transcribe it. So thank you for saving me some time. just think about how that might be blocking me.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, everybody. It's Sheila back. And I hope you enjoyed listening to that session as much as I did the second time around. And I guess what I wanted to share is what struck me toward the end of their discussion when Sharon started talking about the concept of resistance in the creative process and actually the concept of resisting the resistance and that becoming a negative or a challenge because essentially, you're directing a lot of energy towards that, resisting the resistance, rather than just kind of living with it, acknowledging it, seeing what that resistance felt like, and then moving on in terms of incorporating it into what you're creating. And I really liked that. It really resonated with me because of what she said during that discussion. She used the term, the mind can start to spin. It can tell us stories. And for me, that hit the nail on the head. Like that's what happens to me in a lot of situations. And so it's something trying not to resist resistance is something I'm really gonna start working on. Yeah, so I'm gonna hand it back over to Elizabeth and Sharon to bring this podcast home.
Well, if you're open to it, I would love to just spend a couple minutes trying to articulate the medical side of what happened to me.
Yeah.
And record it. Okay, great. So I started my first business at 22 and am wired to be a fast moving, high achieving entrepreneur. And I have also learned that I'm not actually wired to have a desk job. Because I like to move and I like to be outside. And I spent 20 years trying to be inside for the acceptable amount of time per day, 8 to 10 hours, like most entrepreneurs. And then also trying to train for long distance triathlons and fuel my need to move. and I didn't sleep enough. I didn't stretch enough. I didn't strength train enough. I would just sit all day and then get out and go move. When I was about 29, my body started to break down. I feel nervous about sharing this detail because I'm nervous that it'll be perceived as a woman's story, but I think it's an important part of my journey, which is I actually stopped having periods when I was in my late 20s. And I went to the doctor and they said, well, you're just exercising too much and you need to gain weight. And thin at that time, but I wasn't clinically underweight. And coincidentally, I was actually injured at the time. And so I was forced to stop exercising. And I wanted to get pregnant. That's a whole nother story. It was good timing for me to just slow down my exercise and gain weight. And when I was told to gain 10 pounds, I thought that sounded fun. So I just sort of ate pizza and ice cream and did all the things that sounded fun to gain weight. Gained 10 pounds, cut way back on my exercise, but was still working a lot and wasn't sleeping enough. And my periods never came back. For my doctor said to me, I think you should go on some bioidentical hormones and just treat this with medication. And I was a fast moving entrepreneur in my 20s that didn't want to explore other avenues. And so I just did that and maintained a reasonable balance for about 20 years. And then had a very large ovarian tumor 20 years later. And that had to have that removed along with my ovary, and that threw off the hormonal balance that I had more or less artificially been keeping in check for 20 years. In addition to that, I was going through a pretty difficult time. I was going through a professional transition, so I had lost my sense of purpose. I was in the process of getting a divorce. I moved to a new place where I had very few friends and family and was coming off the tails of the pandemic. In addition to that, I got COVID and then got a stomach bug and dipped to a very dangerously low weight and got to the point that my body just completely shut down. And I could not cognitively send an email. I did not have the cognitive ability to send an email for 5 days. I had a complete mental breakdown and was forced to really stop everything and figure out how to heal myself. And I would say that the most important lessons that I've learned in this journey is that everything is intertwined. Particularly, I've learned about the links between hormone health and gut health and mental and physical symptoms. I have learned that trying to be someone who you are not causes many mental and physical symptoms, and being out of alignment in your relationships and failing to set boundaries with yourself and with your family and with anyone in your life, that those things can be so powerful that it can literally curve your spine, which is what happened to me. Because of that grapefruit-sized tumor, which got so large in part because I was ignoring some of the symptoms because I was too busy doing other things. And also because of the GI issues that I allowed to persist for 20 years of my life, I actually curved my spine, which created tears in my back that are irreparable. And I've created GI and nerve patterns in my body, which may not be reversible. And through all of this, I don't just want to be a cautionary tale of what happens when you don't take care of yourself, but I also want to be a voice for people to understand that you just have to do the best with what you have in the moment. Because despite this predicament that I've gotten myself into, I actually wouldn't have done that much differently.
Mm.
I wish I would have had some better information 20 years ago. And I think a lot of that is because the science was more nascent and information was not as readily accessible. I wish I would have had some of the information that I had now, because I think I could have made some simple changes to avoid some of the headaches that I've caused for myself. But because I didn't have that, and I'm not sure I could have even gotten that 20 years ago, I don't know that I would have done anything differently. I have had an incredible 20 years being an entrepreneur and being so inspired by the work that I'm doing that I forgot to eat when I was supposed to and rest when I was supposed to and all those things. And when I really hit rock bottom with my health issues, I took a full year to do nothing but focus on my own healing. I realized in that process that being so self-absorbed and so focused on doing everything in a regimented way causes you to lose your sense of purpose and your sense of community. It also creates the kind of health issues that I was actually trying to prevent through that behavior. So I want to tell my story about how accessing information and doing the best that you can within your circumstances and also understanding your own limits can prevent you from losing your backbone. All right, that's I think all I want to share today. Thank you for allowing me to record that. Any thoughts that come up for you and me sharing that?
Yeah, I wrote down a bunch of stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, do you want to hear it now?
Up to you.
Yeah, I'll share it now. Did you share that just to so you can like get your stuff clear for your writing, or did you share that to share in this podcast, or both?
I'm not sure. I'm open.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. Your story is one of those that it hooks. You've got so many things that people that would hear that and go, really? I want to hear more. In telling this overview, leave it that way. You know, you can't tell the whole backstory. I loved it when you said, my doctor told me to gain 10 pounds and I thought that sounded fun. So I ate pizza and ice cream. Stuff like that is funny and relatable, and it paints the picture of where you were with your knowledge and your mental state at the time without having to explain all of that. Like when you came back around at the end and you said, maybe if I had access to some better information and knowing what to do with it, I could have changed some things. But overall, you know, I'm happy with my life and how it turned out. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. those two things tie together in a way that's just really a beautiful thread.
Mm.
Does that make cool. sense?
Total. Yeah.
Yeah. So as you tell the story, think about that kind of stuff, how the sentences that you choose to describe your past 20 years, it's the most potent sentence you can think of to explain your situation without having to go into great detail. And that's one of those lines that jumped out at me. I was like, yes, more ways of describing it like this that come back and reinforce your point about your whole, this whole 20-year journey. And then your outlook and what you're taking from it and what you want people to know.
Cool.
And it doesn't have to be in chronological order either. You can go back and forth. Don't limit yourself to telling your story chronologically, because sometimes the creative flow, the literary license to tell it differently is more powerful.
Cool.
Oh, one more thing is why you're telling the story. I felt like it lost some steam there at the end. Like, I think you know, but being able to articulate it hasn't come yet.
Okay. That's good feedback.
You've got a really cool story. And then it kind of was like, oh, should I do anything differently? So then what am I learning? What am I getting? Or has she gotten, like, she's yet to figure it out. And I'm not saying that you have to say you would do anything differently. Like, that might be the point. But that punch, that power in that message didn't come through yet.
Thank you.
There's so many directions you can go with it. And maybe you don't have to pick just one, but it's some of them might feel like they contradict too, which is okay. There's so much gold in your story, and it's still being written. It's still unfolding.
Right.
It's okay to not have a conclusion. And this all boils down to, it's like, no, how would we know?
Well, it's funny because right after, actually while I was having that mental breakdown, I was feeling all of this pressure to get everything down on paper because I felt like I was learning so much in the process.
Mm.
And Leah said to me, like, this is just the start of your story.
Yeah.
you really can't write it yet. And she was right. I feel like all the stuff that I was afraid that I was going to forget, either it's so vivid in my mind still over a year later, or it's an unimportant detail because like you don't have to tell every detail of the story. And I think that for me is one of the hardest things to balance, my desire to share every nugget that I've learned from this when I just really need to share a few.
Right. Do you have a vision for this book? Like, do you envision a book tour and keynotes and speaking engagements and like mentoring startup culture entrepreneurs through this or any of that? You don't have to, but because if you try to get it all down in the book, you're missing that there's probably other opportunities to add color and add details in other formats.
Yeah, great point and great question. All those things that you mentioned sound totally unappealing to me.
Yeah, okay. Cool. No wonder you want to put it all in the book then.
To your point earlier, I feel open about that. You know, one of the reasons why I have felt uninspired to write a book is because the whole idea of a book tour sounds terrible to me.
Yeah,
but
really.
But maybe there's another version of that that sounds really good. Like, for instance, there's this organization that focuses on mental health here in town. And I was thinking it would be fun to go talk to their audience sometime about the things that I've learned. And I remember, so I was on the University of Colorado triathlon team, and they would invite professional athletes to come in and talk to the students about their experience. And I remember so vividly that this woman, her name's Diane Israel, she still lives in Boulder, Colorado. But she came in and told her story about her battle with exercise bulimia and lack of nutrition and how that really made her body break down. And I remember that story so often because she came in at a time that I was unintentionally, but I was definitely in an exercise bulimia state. That was really eye-opening to me. And, you know, this is just one part of my story, but a big reason why my health issues got so bad is because I was unintentionally starving myself for 20 years just because I had bad habits and some body image issues and things like that. But mostly just I was ill-informed and had some bad habits. And so through this journey, I just keep remembering her story that she came and told. And I thought how fun it would be for me to go back to that triathlon team and to tell my story. So there's some things like that that sound interesting, but the general dog and pony show that you do with the book does not sound appealing to me.
That sounds actually really sweet, that where it makes a difference that you're interested in, not just going on a tour for the sake of a tour.
I appreciate your insinuation that I'm doing it for altruism, but it's mostly because I just don't like to get on a plane and have scheduled things to attend, but I appreciate it nonetheless. And maybe there is a little bit of that drive for altruism too, but anyhow, this has been really helpful. Thank you. And anything else you want to share to feel complete?
Your willingness to look at those parts of you and to be able to clearly articulate them is an asset to opening up, to being able to pivot, to change how you're approaching something. And I really enjoy these conversations with you. I've enjoyed our coaching sessions because each time you come in with such clarity about how you're doing things and what your goals are. And each time you're able to let go. Mm. And I see you continually evolving and doing it quicker and quicker. You're committed to your, what did you say? Your realizing your highest potential. Yeah. You're committed to that, but how you get there, you're very open to trying new things. And I think that's one of the things that makes you really successful.
Wow. Thanks. It's quite a compliment.
Yeah.
If people want coaching like this, either I should mention Sharon splits her time between Copper, Colorado and Tampa, Florida. So in-person coaching in both those places could be an option. And she's an amazing skier for those of you who like coaching from the chairlift. Also a pretty good golfer. How would people find you if they'd want coaching like this?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, the way to reach me is welcomingway.com is our website. And I have a profile on there with my contact information, my bio. And we're starting to also record some podcasts like this where we're doing live coaching and putting that out on Spotify and all the channels so that people get an understanding of this type of coaching before they buy in, before they sign up. And also when we do this kind of thing, as your audience has experienced today, they can follow along with their own goals or challenges that they're working on and get that benefit as well. We also do group coaching once a month. We offer free support calls so people can call in and ask for facilitation. And then we have a 3-hour workshop that we do once a quarter where we can do a deeper dive into the teachings of the Welcoming Way and also work on your goals and challenges there as well.
I love it.
Thanks for this. It was great fun.
Wow, Sharon, nice job. That was good.
Apparently putting me on the spot is the best thing to do.
I guess.
That was impressive and helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, that was really great. Seriously, if you had told me this a few days ago, I think I would have been nervous and like, oh gosh, what am I going to say? And since you popped it on me 10 seconds before we started, I didn't have any time to be nervous.
Well, I think that's a life lesson, actually.
I think so. All right. Well, enjoy your day.
All right. You too.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests, and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.